just reach above and touch the sky. When I looked at those words and listened to that, one of the words that caught my eye was the word if. It's a very interesting question. If. What does if imply? To me, it implies possibility. And possibility, the if, resides in me. I get to choose the if. I've actually done a talk, and I may do one in the future, on the ifs of life. And we get to choose what ifs that we're going for. And we can do the positive ifs. What if it all works out? What if it's better than I could have imagined? However, we often have the ifs that go more on the negative side, like what if it doesn't work out? What if whatever doesn't happen? We tend to go more towards the negative ifs because we are set up to survive, and so our mind is always looking out for danger. So we hesitate to move forward, to reach for the sky, to do bigger and greater things, because who wants to fail? What if I fail? What if I succeed? Sometimes we're more afraid of our success, right? So if you could reach higher, what would be possible? So we are in the new month of November, and I'm combining the talk with a continuation of Don McGarrowis's book, The Four Agreements. And we're also moving into looking at one of the 12 powers that co-founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore, formulated as he looked at each of the disciples and realized each has a trait or ability that we all have too, but we don't know what those are or understand how we use them and can use them in a positive, uplifting way or less so. So this month, we are going to be looking at wisdom. Wisdom is our power. The definition of wisdom from the book called Power Up Your Life. Wisdom is the power to practically apply what is known, to intuitively discern, and to make heart connections. It's also about evaluating and appraising things. Underdeveloped wisdom is a person who has difficulty making decisions and can't make decisions, feels kind of unpredictable and wishy-washy. Anybody ever had those moments? Okay, you can admit it. We all have those times where it's like, I can't make up my mind. So we have those moments. We also have perhaps the egocentric times of our wisdom, where we know, and we know that we know, and we're maybe a little more judgmental than is necessary. Also can be critical and inappropriately discriminatory, often manipulative. No one here ever been that way. Now, wisdom often is compared to knowledge, because, you know, they're pretty close. It's all up here, right? Or so we think. Knowledge is actually the recall of accumulated information based on experience and study. Okay, so we get knowledge, stuff in our heads, but wisdom is when we actually apply it. And in the book Divine Audacity, Linda Martellowitz said, and we'll talk about these in the future coming Sundays, but she breaks it into judgment, and we've been talking about judgment from the book, but what that means is evaluate, because judgment isn't bad, but it's an evaluation. Anybody ever done pros and cons? You put the what would work and what doesn't work. So we've all used that evaluation. It's a skill. It's a part of our how we make decisions, and we look at those. There's also spiritual discernment we'll speak of later this month, and intuition. So wisdom is applied knowledge. Now, we have been doing a book study for the last 4 weeks on Don McGarrowis's book, and that is a study. And so we're accumulating and looking at and putting knowledge in our heads, okay? Right? Would you agree? Okay. So what we have learned thus far in a little summation is that, and this is from the Toltec wisdom teachings, and again, back to the teachings that have look at us and realize that we all are smoky mirrors. He speaks of that at the very beginning, that we are living in an illusion and a dream that wasn't created by us. It was created by those before us and before them and before them. And so that dream is what he calls domestication. See, all the beliefs that you have, were you born with them? No. Anybody born with a bunch of beliefs? I didn't think so. So where do our beliefs come from? Well, they come from our parents, our schools, our churches. And so we, as a blank slate, get all this put on us, and we're like, oh, okay, I guess that's true. You're telling me it's true. That's what, okay. We don't really have a choice. I mean, we could rebel, but we're going to get punished and not rewarded, and that's a whole section of Don Miguel Ruiz's book that we end up with. He calls it the Book of Law. That's all the beliefs that you carry that may or may not be true, that you may not really necessarily believe in your very inner self, but you've agreed to them because you need to fit in and work with society. And not that domestication is bad. It is when it becomes restrictive and perhaps not coming from truth. So we question our beliefs and we start to wonder, is that really true? Is that really true, the things that I believe? It can make you a little crazy when you start studying it from that viewpoint. However, that's important work to do. I don't want to live in the prison of the beliefs that have been given to me. I want to question. Questioning is a good trait to have, to explore, to be perhaps open to some other thoughts. And so Don Miguel Ruiz talks about freedom. Anybody not like freedom? Everybody likes freedom. We are born to be free, and I'll be talking about that next week. So what happens to that freedom? Well, it gets kind of put out of us because we get all these beliefs on us. And how to break out of that prison of these beliefs, which also includes the judge, because we judge, as that you've learned in your knowledge, acquired knowledge, that we've learned that we're judging all the time. Yippee-doo. I judge myself, I judge the cat, I judge. And that's because we were trained, domesticated to judge what's right, what's wrong. So we have these four agreements by the Toltec teachers of wisdom back in the day, and they said these four new agreements that you can make, that you could apply. That's where we get into wisdom. I apply these four different agreements in my life, and my life will change. I will be more free and enjoy more of what I came here to be about. So the first agreement is be impeccable with your word. And a quick summation, that means don't do anything against yourself. Don't think or say or do anything that goes against yourself or anyone else. To be impeccable means to love yourself unconditionally. Anybody master that yet? Right? It's an ongoing. And to recognize when you do become critical or judgmental of yourself or another. My suggestion is you do the Ho'oponopono prayer, the prayer of forgiveness. I say to myself, I'm sorry, or if I'm judging somebody else, please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'll tell you what, that clears, that can put me back into my center like no other prayer can on some level. In fact, whenever I find myself struggling, sometimes just saying that if you're in a relationship, just repeat that over and over. See if it doesn't shift you. So be impeccable with your word. Love yourself. Love others. And forgive yourself when you make a mistake. Number two is don't Take anything personally. Thank you for the anything. Don't take anything personally. Okay, how easy is that? Yeah, it's all about me. Well, of course it is, and it's all about you. Whenever anybody thinks or says or does anything, they're not even talking about me. They're talking about themselves. Because we can't see others as they are. We can only see others and things as we are. That's huge. Immanuel Kant, I believe, said that. We don't see others except by what I have as my filters and what I've been domesticated to see and to experience. I'm not really seeing the real you, and you're not really seeing the real me. You're seeing what you perceive through your filters and your domestication as to who I am and what I am. And what if I'm just a reflection of you? We're all mirrors. So how many of you think I'm wonderful? Amazing. Fantastic. Cool, because you're just real recognizing it's in you. When somebody comes to me for counseling, and what I get to see is the truth is that every person I see in a counseling, spiritual counseling situation, they're a reflection of me. I'm a reflection of them. I often see the person sitting across from me. I'm like, I recognize who you are because that's the work I've done on myself. So I can only take people as far as I've gone myself, and I basically don't counsel. I know every person has all the wisdom necessary to deal with their situation. And sometimes you just need to be heard. You just need to be heard. I just go to my mentor and she says, what do you need from me? Just hear me. Because I know when I talk, I'll come back to the truth. It's giving that sacred gift of listening. So don't take anything. Very good. Number three, don't. Don't, and it's kind of right there with the same one, don't take things personally. Don't make assumptions. Why? Why don't you want to make assumptions? Because you're making an ASS out of you and me. That's what I just heard. That's right. See, when we make an assumption, whatever we're assuming, we believe as the truth. And most oftentimes, it isn't. We're just assuming because I have my filter. You should know me. I know you. I live with you. I've lived with you for how many years? Of course I know how you're going to be. Mm-hmm. And you should know how I am. And you should know what to say and how to be with me. We get more problems because of that. Assumptions. The remedy for assumption making is to ask questions. And we often don't want to ask questions because we'll think, well, you know, I should know better, or I should know that person. So we fear. I'd rather make a mistake and ask a question, because what if I find out that what I was assuming isn't even the thing that's true? You know, error on the side of asking a question and feeling silly about it, but you can clear so much and not create so much drama and problems by doing that. So now we're moving into the fourth agreement, which is what we're focusing on today. Always do your best. Always do your best. That word, always, does not mean 50% of the time. It doesn't mean 75% of the time or 95% of the time. It means 100% of the time. Always do your best. How many of you feel that you do your best 100% of the time in every area of your life? Okay, Brendan, Jacqueline. Good for you. So here's the thing that he talks about. He says, always doing your best is the agreement that you make that is going to make a difference about the other three agreements. Are you able to always be impeccable with your word, always, or I could say never take anything personally, and never make assumptions, because you're always doing your best? Well, the thing is we can try to do our best. However, he says, under any and all circumstances, always do your best, no more and no less. Now, do you think you can do your best all the time? And does your best change? Yes. And he speaks of that. He says, everything is alive and changing all the time. So your best will be maybe high quality, and other times not so good. When you wake up refreshed and energized in the morning, your best will be better than when you're tired at night, right? Your best will be different when you're healthy as opposed to sick, sober opposed to drunk. Your best will depend on whether you are feeling wonderful and happy or upset, angry, and jealous. So your best, it fluctuates, right? So he says, regardless of how your best is, continue to show up as your best. So do we, and he says, don't do more than your best and don't do less than your best. Question for you. Anybody here ever be perfectionistic in any way, shape, or form? Come on. We want to do it perfect. How's that working for you? We want to do things perfect, and sometimes we overdo. Any overdoers? Hello. I'm an overdoer, or I'm recovering overdoer. My duoholic person. It's like sometimes when I'm like, I'm having an unplugged day, and the voice is going, oh, we could be doing this, this, and this. I'm like, excuse me, not today. And sometimes I have to work with that part of me. So he says that basically you don't want to overdo, because what happens when you overdo? You deplete your body. Your body gets depleted because you're overdoing. I like this little story that he shares. There was a man who wanted to transcend suffering, so he went to the Buddhist temple to find a master to help him. He went to the master and asked, Master, if I meditate 4 hours a day, how long will it take me to transcend? The master looked at him and said, well, if you meditate 4 hours a day, perhaps you'll transcend in 10 years. The young man said, I could do better. How about, Master, what if I meditated 8 hours a day? How soon would I transcend? The master looked at him and said, well, if you meditate for 8 hours a day, you'll transcend in 20 years. But why will it take me longer if I meditate more? The master replied, now hear this. You are not here to sacrifice your joy or your life. You are here to live, to be happy, and to love. If you do your best in 2 hours of meditation, but you spend 8 hours instead, you will grow tired, miss the point, and you won't enjoy your life. Do your best, and perhaps you will learn that no matter how long you meditate, you can live happy and love and life happiness. So, not to overdo, not to overdo. Now, also not to underdo, because what happens when I don't do my best, what happens is that my judge comes out, okay? Being a public speaker never happens. Like the part of me that could go, you know, you could have prepared better last week, you know? Did I do my best? And it wants to tell me I didn't. And I have to like go, excuse me, I did do my best. And so there are times where we have to, we're all self-talking, right? Your judge is telling you one thing. You get to rise up and use your throat chakra to tell it, no, I am sticking to the truth. I am connected to the heart. So we want to take action. When you take action, you are doing your best. Now, sometimes action means to rest, to not do. Sometimes we think actions means doing. Not true, not necessarily true. So action is the key. Action, taking action on don't take things personally. Don't make assumptions and be impeccable with your word. Now, he talks about action as being the key. Always do your best means to act. But he also says what kind of action. He says, when you take an action, when you act, come from love, come from happiness. Do it because you love what you're doing. Do when you are happy with what you're doing. Now, anybody go, well, wait a minute, I feel obliged to do something, okay? Obligated, I need to do that for whatever reason. Okay, so my examples in my life. I was working at Amazon right before the pandemic. I was in Amazon warehouse and going, I'm a minister working for Amazon. How is that working for me? And I was crabby about it, right? However, I decided I was going to find a way to find some joy in what it was doing. And I did, and I created the joy. See, if you don't like the thing you're doing, it's not the thing that you don't like. It's your attitude. It is how you feel. When I was a winder operator in a plastic strap company, working 7 at night to 7 in the morning, it wasn't fun. But I made it fun. And here's the thing, at the end of the day, I could feel pride because I did my best. I became the best winder operator. I had the best warehouse when I moved to LA and was the forklift driver. I had the best stereo system in my warehouse. When I was substitute taught, I did not enjoy substitute teaching. And my teacher said, Liz, you need to love what you're doing. And I thought, I can't imagine loving this position. And so I said, well, I don't know about loving it, but how about I enjoy substitute teaching? I started with that mantra. I enjoy substitute teaching. I enjoy substitute teaching. And I said it so much that guess what? I started to enjoy substitute teaching. It isn't the thing, it's how I go about it. I can do my best and feel good about Liz. A great example of doing your best. How about Forrest Gump? Okay? Anybody not know Forrest Gump? Back in 94 when he did this. See, he always did his best. He was happy because everything he did his very best at. And he even says, you have to do the best with what God gave you. He also said, stupid is as... That's a wisdom one for you. He also said, I may not be a smart man, but I do know what love is. Okay? He's one of the wisest beings. He has a lot of beautiful quotes. Now, I've got to extend a little bit about Forrest. So my question to you, how many of you know what God's first name is? Okay. Here we go. So Forrest Gump passes, and he goes up to heaven, and he's met at the pearly gates by St. Peter himself. And St. Peter said, Forrest, it's so good to see you. I've heard so much about you. But we have so many that are trying to get in that we now have an entrance examination. It's really simple. It's 3 questions, and you answer those questions correctly, you get to go into heaven. Forrest is like, all right. So then he goes, so the first question, Forrest, is how many days of the week begin with the letter T? Forrest goes, well, that would be today and tomorrow. St. Peter looks at him and goes, I don't believe you said that, but I have to give you credit for it. Oh, okay. Goes, the next one's harder. How many seconds are there in a year? And Forrest goes, That's a tougher one. And he goes, I've been thunking, and I believe there's 12 seconds in a year. 12 seconds in a year? How do you come up with that, Forrest? Well, there's January 2nd and February 2nd and March 2nd. St. Peter goes, wait a minute. I can't believe you came up with that. And I guess I'm just going to have to give you that one too. Last question, Forrest. What is God's first name? Oh, shucks, that's easy. God's first name is Andy. Andy? What? Oh, you're out of your mind. Where do you come up with Andy? Andy walks with me, and he talks with me, and he calls me his own. St. Peter throws open the pearly gates and says, run, Forrest, run. Right? Run, Forrest, run. Because Forrest always did his best. And so, are you willing to do your best and to realize that your best changes all the time? To just put forth your best. And then you can feel good about yourself, no matter how your best even looked. I did my best. I feel okay. So you don't have to be perfect. And one of the things that Don McGarrell Weiss speaks about, he's like, make everything a ritual. In India, they call it, I think it's puja, and basically washing your body. Be mindful when you take a shower, when you cook, do your best. He says that the best way to say, I thank you to the divine, is by doing your best. The best way to say thank you to the spirit that is breathing you is to always do your best. Remember, you don't have to be perfect. You are going to fall down. You're going to take time where you're not impeccable with your word, and you're making assumptions, and you're taking things personally. Just do the Ho'oponopono prayer. Just say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. You don't have to be perfect. You will fall down. So just remember, you don't have to be perfect because you are doing your best, the best that you can. And so it is.